very, very excited this morning. Not sure how much sense I'm going to make because I'm very excited. We'll see. And I'm not really sure where this is all going to go, but I'm going to have fun going there. I've got the wrong notes. That would help, wouldn't it? You see, that's a great start. At least I think I've got the wrong notes. Maybe I haven't. Or maybe I should just check out the notes. First of all, about the house. Most of you know that I was looking for a house. And I moved into my house last week. I won't go into all the ins and outs of the move, but it was a blessed move. And every day this week, I've been waking up excited, really enjoying the house, really enjoying being able to do what I want. Put music on, play my guitar at full blast, sing my heart out. Yeah, it's amazing, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. And what's so cool about this house is it was a former cannabis farm. And now it's going to be a glory farm. And what's funny to me, I was laughing about this morning, is number 23, which reminds me of Psalm 23. And the Lord has spoken to me a lot about that. And I'm like, Lord, you said I was going to go to green pastures, but I didn't think it would be that kind of green pastures. But there's no more cannabis there, you'll be pleased to know. But it really is a... just a huge blessing, and I'm really looking forward to having people over. It's got a huge garden. We can have a whole OCF barbecue and when it gets a bit warmer, and just really want to use that house for worship and prayer, so just testifying to the Lord's goodness in that. And also, I was in Romania the other week. It was really great to be there. Saw a lot of things happen, really enjoyed just being with Rebecca and Bogdan, seeing what they're doing, and just being amazed by that. You know, they have a really young leadership team, and they're dealing with quite a lot of things that leaders who've been in it for longer would struggle with. won't go into all of that, but a lot of things they've had to walk through, and they're doing really, really well there. I was able to send greetings from all of you. And just one story from that time. I don't think I shared it last week. I've shared in different places, so I'm getting confused about what I've shared and not. But on the Friday night, we had a prayer and worship time. In that time, the Lord just really highlighted one girl to me, and I thought, the Lord's going to do something with her this week. Maybe I need to pray for her, maybe I'll have a word for her, I don't know, but I could just see. Sometimes it's like that for me, it's almost like they've got a little spotlight over them. And so I was like, you know, just trying to stay listening to the Lord. And the next day we had, I was speaking at a women's event, and I was hoping she was going to be there, and it was like getting to the time, and she wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, I really wanted to be here. Lord, where is she? And then we started the meeting, and then she came in, so I was like, okay, great, Lord, if you want me to share something with her or pray for her, then great. But I didn't have anything. I didn't know what. And then I spoke, and at the end of the meeting, Rebecca was like, okay, Sue's going to go around and pray for everyone now. I was like, oh, okay, am I? Great. It was a good push for me, because in the last few years, I've spent a lot of time around praying for people in the prophetic, but there's usually been other people with a more, I don't know, the prophetic gifting is more their main gifting. So it's easy just to ride on their prophetic gifting and let them get on with it. But in this situation, I now had to listen to the Lord and give people words. So it pushed me to do that and to expect God to speak to me, because I know he does speak. And so the first girl that I come to is this girl. And I just start saying what the Lord did give me something for. I started to say it. She was definitely receiving that. And the Lord was encountering her. And I'd said to her at the beginning, yesterday I felt the Lord highlighted you. And she said, yeah, I knew that he's going to do something, and I knew you needed to pray for me. And I was like, great, let's do it, you know. So we prayed, gave us some words, we prayed through some things, we broke off some things, and that was all good, and then I moved on to the other people. Anyway, it came to Sunday morning, and she was already there when I arrived, and her face was just different. She just looked different. I've seen that a few times, but not often, but her whole countenance was different. She was so joyful. She just looked free. And she came straight over to me and she said, oh, I just want to tell you, yesterday after you prayed, I knew the Lord, because I'd been speaking about people taking the step to say, I'm all in. Like, even when you don't know what that means, just taking that step of being. And she said, I went home last night and I said, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in. Whatever that means, I'm going for it. And the Lord spoke, encountered her there in her room. And I said, you look different today. She said, yeah, I am. I'm different. And it was just like, thank you, Jesus. It was just so cool to see that physical change. And to be part of it, you know, it's not about me. It's just about being willing and ready when the Lord wants to do his stuff, to be whatever part in the story he wants you to be. And I share that because of Romania, but I'm also sharing it because I want to stir hope and stir faith today. I want to stir us that the Lord is doing good things. And I'm excited at the moment because that I just feel like there's so much happening. I just have so much hope for God breaking through every day. Every day I wake up and I'm like, yeah. Something's going to happen today. Someone's going to get more of Jesus. And it just feels like so much is stirring in the Northwest. And I don't know if you feel it. There's that verse like, do you perceive it? Yes. Do you perceive it? God's doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? And of course, in God's, it's not new to God. He's doing it all the time, but it's new to us sometimes because we haven't been in that, you know, trajectory, or we haven't been thinking about that. And he's like stirring us, come on, I'm doing something. And there's just things happening all over at the moment. And a few of us have been involved with the Big Push and the Community Watchman Ministries, and just the testimonies that are coming out from that, and just this expectation that the Lord's going to move, not just in Liverpool, but in the whole of the Northwest. And they're meeting with prophets from Manchester, and we're like, come on, let's get these cities together. Let's see the Lord break through. And it really is something stirring. So I just want to keep talking about those things, because it's when we declare it, even the word testimony carries in it, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. The actual meaning of the word has this, do it again. And so as we testify and as we declare forth a prophetic word and we say it's going to happen, you know, we're not just talking about just random things. We're talking about the things of God. It will happen. It will happen. Revival is coming. Breakthrough is coming. And the Northwest is, there's been this prophetic word over the Northwest about it being a powerhouse for the Lord. And it is, and it's becoming that more and more. Anyway, I'm excited. So we're talking about hope. Whew. I have three things on my page and a lot of scriptures, and I don't know how much I'm going to get through. So I feel like I've got a shelf full of stuff, and I don't really know what I'm going to pick out the shelf to stick in the recipe and see what cake comes out. Yeah, let's read Philippians 3. When we were planning, when we were doing as the teaching team, when we were talking about, okay, we're going to do hope, this verse came to me, this, even though it doesn't necessarily make you think hope the minute you read it, but I just want to read it through. Philippians 3, going from verse 7. But whatever I gained, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. And this is Paul speaking, and before it talks about who he is. He's like, you know, the best of the best Jewish person. He had every reason to boast in himself. He had every reason to say, I know it all. I'm good. I've come from a good place. yeah, I'm top of the class. He had every reason to say that, but he's now saying, I count it all loss. Everything else I gained in my life is a loss compared to knowing Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And carrying on to verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Those are not light words. Those are the words of someone who has a hope. They're the words of someone who's encountered something beyond themselves, and they're saying, I want this full in. I'm giving my everything for this because I've seen something, I've experienced something, I've encountered a truth that I'm making my own because nothing else matters than this. And when you read it, you can't help but feel the stirring, you know. I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep going because there's something beyond what I'm experiencing right now. I'm going to keep reaching for the more because there's something beyond my everyday. There's something beyond the suffering that we see around us. There's something beyond the normal. And I'm going to keep going because Christ is faithful, because I've encountered him, because I know his name, and I know he's good. And I want to talk to you today about three different hopes. We have, the first one might sound funny, but I'm going to talk about a past hope. It almost sounds contradictory because, you know, we always think of hope as something ahead. But I think we have a past hope, we have a present hope, and we have a future hope. And what I mean by that, by a past hope, is there's something that happened in the past that is the central point of our hope. And I think you all know what that is. The death and resurrection of Jesus. That is our past hope, because that's where everything is rooted back to. The story, the whole salvation story with the cross in the middle of it. And the cross, I've heard someone say before, the shadow of the cross goes backwards and it goes forwards. It's not just one moment in time, it is covering everything. But we need to make sure our hope is rooted in the story of the cross. That Jesus Christ died for you. But not only did he die, he rose. He rose from the dead, and it's in his resurrection life that we have life. It's in his resurrection life that we have life. A life is within you. The life that rose Christ from the dead is within you. That power is within you. You walk around with resurrection power in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
To do anything that the Lord did, that Jesus did when he walked the earth, we have that power within us, and he said we will do greater things. And by that, I think it means like they'll. Or the quantity of it, there'll be just more and more of that miraculous happening through us as we recognize that resurrection power within us. So we're rooted back in the cross. This is our past hope that we stand on. But also, and I might push you a little bit here, if you know, you know, often hear of, with people who are adopted that they feel like they need to know their family history. They need to know something to make sense of who they are. And so there's often these stories about people like trying to find, you know, about their family, because it gives them some sense of identity. And what's, for us believers, what's often happened with us because of church history is we've become detached from our family history. Because our family history is in the Israelites, is in the Jews and their story. And then our story carries on from that. In Romans, it talks about us being grafted in. We grafted into something that was already there, which was God's story with Israel. And we're grafted into that story. But often we don't know what we're even grafted into, because we think we were grafted in somewhere a bit later. We were grafted into the Roman Catholic Church or something. But actually, there's a bit of history before that. It's in our Bible. And so I just want to challenge you to maybe ask the Lord to help you understand that family history. God's story with the Israelites and how it is a root of hope for us. Because what he gave and what he spoke and what he did with the Israelites is our story too. They're our fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're our forefathers of the faith. And there's so much we can learn for digging into those Hebrew roots of our faith. So our past hope is the cross, first and foremost, but also there's hope that we can pull from our family history in God's story with the Israelites, past and present, and future. It's important to be rooted. I was listening to a sermon the other day that was talking about that family history, and they were saying there's a wind coming. There's winds coming, winds of adversity. And if a wind comes and a tree isn't rooted, it will fall over. So it's so important that we have our roots in Jesus, in the cross, in the Word, but also in our family history, understanding the story of salvation, understanding where we've come from, so that we can stand on that and say, it's not just something I've heard and I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I think it says this in the Bible, but we know it. We know it inside of ourselves. So when the wind comes, we know who we are. So that's the past hope. We have a present hope. A present hope is about seeing the fullness of God come now in our situations. We're not just hoping for something in the future, like a one day this will happen, or one day there'll be breakthrough, or one day. We want it now.
Yeah.
Do you want it now?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want to see people saved? Do we want to see people healed?
Yeah.
And that hope is alive for us now in this day because, as I said, the power of Christ is within us. If you ask a lot of people what was the core message that Jesus brought, they'll often say it's about the repentance, which is true. But it's actually about the kingdom. That's actually what Jesus was talking about a lot. And Daryl Johnson, I read some of his stuff, and he talks about that when Jesus came, what was happening was the kingdom was breaking in. It's like the in-breaking kingdom. Jesus was the kingdom stepping into the world. And that kingdom has been in the world then, since then. Jesus has gone away and said, hey, here's I'm leaving you responsible for what's happening here in my power. Get on with it. And we have the privilege of being that in-breaking kingdom wherever we are, because we carry the kingdom within us. So wherever you step, wherever you go, you are the kingdom. You are the kingdom and you carry the kingdom. And so that's our present hope, that there's a kingdom within us that can affect, rather than the world affecting us with their bad news and their issues and their negative report, we carry a positive report. We carry a Jesus report. We carry a glory report within us. And as we step in, we say, I'm not ignoring what's happening here, but there's a greater reality and there's a greater hope. And I want to bring that hope into my situations. We want to be a message of hope, and we want to see the miraculous happening where we are. But also this chapter talks about us going through the death and resurrection so as to attain, the death and suffering so as to attain to the resurrection. And in this present life, we have troubles. We have problems. We have pain, we have suffering, we have grief. Things don't always go right. Some things are really terrible. There's people in this room who've had really terrible things happen. And God is very compassionate and tender towards that. And he wants to see us come through those things, grieving well and having time and being ministered to, absolutely. But we often hear a message, and it's a right message, but it's half the message, of when troubles are happening, we just have to get through it and stay strong in the Lord. We just have to get through it because there's something better. So we'll just endure the pain until, you know, the better days come, which is true. And God is our strength. He is our rock in those times. He is our strong tower. He's the one who helps us endure and walk through those things. But there's something else happening when we go through those troubles. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 4. There's this passage that starts in verse 7 about we as having hope, as having the glory in treasures in jars of clay. So we're the jars of clay. We don't always look so beautiful. And we're not always so, we're a little bit fragile. But like I said, the very power of God is within us, within these jars of clay. And I just want to read through this passage because the whole passage is great. So from verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's his glory. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that grace extends to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And then this bit. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I'm going to read that bit again. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, For the things that are seen are transient. That means they pass away. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. Think about this. Paul is saying this. Paul, who was shipwrecked. Paul, who was in prison. Paul, who was beaten. Paul, who lost all things. And he says, this light and momentary affliction. Like, you cannot say that unless you have such a hope. Yes. You cannot call your present circumstances light and momentary unless you have a weight of glory to look forward to and an eternal hope. Yes. We have to get that glory in us. We have to get that understanding, not through striving, but through asking the Lord for revelation. What is the hope that's in you? Because that's the only way we can look at our present circumstances and say, this is not going to last forever. This is not the end. And this is small in comparison to the glory. But what's important about this is that this is producing in us a weight of glory. The afflictions are actually producing something in us. It's not wasted. And so when you're going through something, it's not just about getting through to a better day. It's about allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do with you in the midst of that. Many of you know that the end of 2022, I left Germany after 14 years of serving there in quite difficult, very difficult circumstances. Circumstances where I could have looked and said, it's all over. And I did feel like that in a lot of ways, that I'd lost everything. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen from that point. And it's only because of Jesus in the midst of that I could walk through it. And I look back now, and I was just saying to someone the other day, I was just saying, I'm so thankful for that time because I encountered the love of the Father like I've never encountered it. I encountered the truth of Jesus like I've never encountered it. The Lord was doing things in me in the midst of that really painful time that are now jewels within me. Yes. It talks in Isaiah 54, it says, O one tossed in the storm and not comforted, I'm building you up with, and it describes all these different jewels, I don't even know what they all are, agate, and they're all these different words, agate or however you say it. In that time of testing, in that time of being in the fire, we are being purified, and gold is coming forth. In that time of the fire, something is produced deep within us that will last forever. So the pain is momentary. The pain is for a season. But what it produces in you is gold that lasts forever. It's the glory of God that lasts forever. It's never going to end. Today is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Top of the morning. St. Patrick has it's a great story, and it gets lost in all the let's drink a lot of alcohol and stick silly hats on. But St. Patrick, his story is amazing. I'm not going to go into it now because it will take too long, but the snippet of it is he was taken as a slave to Ireland. And he was there, I think, for 6 years. And he was working as kind of like a shepherd, in effect. And it's in that time when he was in slavery there that he encountered the Lord for real. He'd heard, you know, he'd been brought up with some Christian teaching or whatever, but that's where he encountered the Lord. That's where he learned to pray. That's where he was really transformed. And then he goes back to England, he gets away. That's a whole story, read it, it's amazing how the Lord led him. And then he has a dream, and in the dream, somebody comes to him called Victoricus. and gives him some letters. And in these letters, it's like as if the people of Ireland, the people of Ireland are calling to him to come back. In Ireland, they used to call him Holy Boy because he used to pray so much. That, and in these letters, it's like, Holy Boy, come to us, we need you. And he hears that call and goes back to the place where he'd been slavery because he wanted to take the gospel, because he was so convinced of the hope of the gospel that he was willing to go back to the ones who'd hurt him. And then so much of history changed because of that decision. And you can read about it, and it's amazing. I've just got so many things going around in my head right now. I'm just excited. We need to look at those times that are testing for us and say, Lord, what are you doing in me? We need to learn in the seasons of trial not just to be trying to get out of them, because actually sometimes the Lord wants to do something while we're in them. And if we keep trying to get out, we'll miss the lesson, or he'll keep us there longer until we get the lesson. So if you want to get out of a bad season fast, ask God what he's trying to do in you and surrender to him, because he's doing something. He's doing something. I want to read, I don't know if any of you follow the Lectio 365. It's an app that you can get that has a devotion every day. And today, they're taking it's about hope, funnily enough. And they put in it this Romans 8 scripture, 22, Romans 8, 22, but it's from the Message version. And I'm not the massive fan of using certain versions of I like the traditional versions, but sometimes another version helps us to see things in a different way. So I'm just going to read Romans 8:22 from the Message. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yet yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us, any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what it is that's enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Isn't that cool? You probably read Romans 8:22 a lot of times and never heard it like that. There's something growing in us as we walk through pain. There's something growing in us. It's the conviction that God is good. It's the conviction that there's a future hope. That I've gone completely off track now, but there's a future hope as well. That's the third point. It's unseen right now. Just as that baby in the womb, you can't see it. I mean, maybe you can get the sonogram or whatever you call it, and you can kind of see it, but it's not, you can't see it. It's unseen, but you know it's coming because you're pregnant with it. And we're pregnant with the hope. We're pregnant with the glory of God. We're pregnant with the joy that is to come. We're pregnant with the kingdom. And it's here and it's now in a form, but there's more to come. And we want to live in that place where we know there's more, but we're living to see as much of it come and be manifest now as possible. We have a glorious inheritance, but the Lord wants to see those things birthed in the lives of the people around us now. So how do we cultivate this hope? How do we stay in that place of hope? I'm going to pretty much finish with this and read something from this. There's many different ways you can cultivate hope. We need to be rooted in the truth. We need to be rooted in the word. We need to be telling ourselves again and again what the truth is. There's someone, I don't know who it was, said, preach the gospel every day, but mostly to yourself. You need to preach it twice as much to yourself as anyone else, because we need to hear again that we're saved. We need to hear again about the cross. We need to hear again that Jesus is victorious. We need to hear again about the kingdom. We need to preach it over ourselves as the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. That's one way we can stir hope. We need to do it with each other. You know, at the beginning I shared a testimony and we were sharing testimonies in the room. That's how you stir hope. Because when you're having a hard time and I'm having a good time, I can tell you there's more. There's more. It's not going to last forever. Let's stand together. You might think I'm annoying in that moment. I don't know. Hopefully not. But we can stand together and say, come on. Yes, we put our arm around and comfort. Yes, we speak the tender heart of God, but we also say, come on, there's more. There's more. And this isn't going to last forever. And there's something happening in you, even in this place of despair. So we can share the hope with one another. But one of the main things that I want to, I mean, there's many different ways. I don't have time for it now, but... I want to talk about singing hope. One of the American worship leaders says, you need to sing yourself into the truth. Sometimes we need to just open our mouth and start singing when we don't feel it and when we don't get it, because something actually happens as we sing. This is our very... I don't want to get into weird things about vibrations, but there is something about that, that our whole body starts to resonate with praise. It does something to our spirits. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's actually changing your very being. But I want to read something that Michael read out at Anchor Hold the other day. It's from a book called The Hope at Hand by David Bryant. And he's talking about when he went to listen to or see Les Miserables. And he's talking about being in the theater and watching all this theater happen. And he says this, the storyline caught my attention immediately because hope is what this book is about. I was deeply intrigued by a chorus sung by the students as they formed a street barricade to do battle with oppressive authorities. Their desire was to establish a new day of justice and freedom for the urchin, the beggar, and the peasant. Reprised as the grand finale, the song transformed into a vision of utopian proportions. But the song, Do You Hear the People Sing?, is much more. It is a heartfelt cry I've often heard elsewhere. The yearnings of many to find a hope worth living and dying for. Sitting in that darkened theatre that day, I could imagine them singing about a greater hope. The one God is pouring out into his church right now. A hope, as we've just seen, that increasing numbers believe is at hand. See if you can catch the application. And then this is the song from the story. Do you hear the people sing, lost in the valley of the night? It is the music of the people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. They will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. They will walk behind the plowshares. They will put away the sword. The chains will be broken, and all men will have their reward. Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Somewhere beyond the barricade, there is a world you long to see. Do you hear the people sing? Say, do you hear the distant drums? It is the future that they bring when tomorrow comes. I returned to my office to work on this book with even greater enthusiasm, for I do hear the singing. I am aware of the drums. I have met multitudes of Christians who are ready, ready to be strong, ready to stand before the Lord in prayer, ready to prepare to receive the future that God's tomorrow is bringing. Sing. Sing. Sing of the goodness of the Lord. Sing the truth of his word. Sing of hope wherever you are. Sing it when you don't feel it. Sing it when you do feel it. Sing it at home. Sing it to your friends. Sing it in your workplace. I was walking down the road. I've lost my headphones. So I was walking down the road from the station today with my phone on full blast because I thought, I don't care. I'm just going to worship down the road. We need to sing. We need to get that song of hope out there. We need to sing it to ourselves and we need to sing it to other people. I want us to watch something on the YouTube. On the YouTube. But I don't want us to be passive. I want us to stand because it's worship. It's a worship song. It's from The Big Push. I know you probably think I'm like being like misadvertising, but I do want everyone to come because it's amazing. It's really, really good. But this is one of the songs from, I think it's from a couple of years ago. I don't even know from when it's from. But the song's just a song of declaration, a song of worship. And I just want us to stand and worship with it. It's a little longer, but it's going to be our part of the worship now. And then afterwards, Sarah's going to come up with the team and we'll carry on in worship. But I want us to stir ourselves into that place of gratitude, that place of hope, that place of declaration as we join this song. You may or may not know it. Doesn't really matter. You'll catch it.